interview with Gwen Cherry, state representative from Dade County, Tallahassee, Florida, May 21st, 1974.
Has it take a lot of things? It has to take a lot of rough knocks.
Basically, what is your political background?
I had worked in many campaigns prior to being elected, but I had never thought about running for office. At the time, I was United States Coast Guard attorney for the 7th Coast Guard District when I was asked to run. And I resigned that position in order to run, which was a terrific cut in salary. And I guess it was higher in a way because it was on the federal level. And the 7th Coast Guard District encompasses about six or seven states, southern states, Puerto Rico.
And who asked you to run?
A combination of people, black people, women, lawyers groups. They felt that it was time for a change, and they thought perhaps it was time for a black woman to go, to make the step of running for office.
That was what year?
1969. I was seated in 1970.
Was that a special election?
No, regular.
So this is your third term?
No, second.
Second term.
Completing
second
term. The second.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. And
is it what you expected?
It's very frustrating. I guess I'm getting a little more accustomed to it now. But having been a lawyer for a while, you get even more frustrated because you can change a rule of law in a particular case, and whether or not the legislature will act and change it in accordance with the way it should be, it's left up to them. You may go all the way up to the Supreme Court and change, and that's the rule of that particular case. However, in the legislature, if you manage to be successful, you get a whole body of laws changed at one time. So you do make more of an impact, although I use both of them. I still file suits where I think you need action, where the legislature will not move. And using both of them sometimes, you can get results. For instance, with the when I first came in, there are a group of about 20,000 women in the state of Florida who have the Florida Federation of Women's Clubs, who had a clause in their bylaws that discriminated, and it was for white solely. And they were in tax-exempt status, and the state got no taxes from them because they were do-gooders, and they are very fine women, honorable women. However, they were getting their lands and things were not taxed, their buildings. And I think one of the first bills I filed was to eliminate them from this privileged status. And I couldn't get any action on it because they were a very powerful group there throughout the state. But after I lost the bill, I was able to file suit against them in behalf of two clients who wanted admittance into the organization, and they did drop this from their bylaws under a great deal of persuasion, but we had to go all the way through court.
How are you received by your colleagues as a black and a woman? I'm not sorry.
I would say that I was a curiosity to a great extent.
You were or you are?
I was. They were friendly enough. They would say, we don't have too many women in the legislature in the first place. So they would say, well, maybe, what's a nice lady like you doing up here? Wouldn't you rather be home with the kids? Something to this effect, you know. Now, this is really not the type of thing that you should be doing. What does your husband say? And that sort of thing. But I think they've gotten rather accustomed to me now. More or less. A woman has to work harder, but once she's accepted, I think she's pretty well accepted. They have to know that it's just like with blacks, and that's where I have an advantage. Having been black, I know discrimination keenly. So the other discriminations that come from sex, and I can readily see them quickly and understand them. So I think I'm privileged, although I still have a double disability, too. But like, for instance, in explaining things like, I've been working with the rape laws lately, and for a long time my colleagues couldn't understand why would I be working to try to get women, female officers, female attorneys, working with rape victims. They said, what difference does it make? And I said, well, let me give you an example. Suppose you had just had an unfortunate incident with somebody and you were brought into a police station and you had the choice of two policemen and you were black. One was black and one was white. Which one would you pick to talk with? Or the reverse, you know, you're white and you come in and there's a black one and a white one. Which one would you rather talk with if you had a choice? You'd rather talk with one. Serious like this. Same way with a rape victim. She's just been assaulted by a male, and then she's immediately put in an all-male environment. If she had a choice, I think she would prefer a female. Although I do admit that females can be just as bad as men, but not on the whole. Usually they can relate better, they can empathize, and they can do a couple other things. So from the vantage point, I can see how things will work a little bit clearer, I'd say, than some of my colleagues. I can give you a lot of examples like that.
But essentially, some of the attitudes have changed since you got here.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. Well, we've had a whole new election. I guess I fought pretty hard on capital punishment. I've lost so many good battles, as I would see it, till I guess losing doesn't matter too much anymore. It's winning or losing and coping with either one of them. But during the first year or so, there were some pretty hard losses. I fought for child care centers, equal rights amendment, mainly legislation that deals with human rights. The elderly.
Did you lose on the basis of the issue or because you were black?
Combination, I imagine, of both. Capital punishment, I think it was a combination of maybe I fought so hard not to reinstate it, not to see it reinstated, but community pressure probably played the biggest role. The legislators felt that the community pressures demanded, and it was an election time, demanded that they reinstate it. And I think we were the first state to reinstate. So it may have been a combination of both. There is a tendency to automatically reject legislation that I'm carrying a lot of times. But you must remember, I come from a different vantage point. Like I tell them, everybody's the sum total of their total environment, right? And the things I'm saying or the things I'm accustomed to, they've never seen that side of it. So in many instances, I have a job of educating them up to my point of view. Because they haven't seen that side. They don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about the welfare mother with 10 children that may want to work and gets how she gets caught in this cycle and can't get out of it and how all of these things take place. They really can sympathize, but they can't empathize.
Did you grow up in Florida?
Born and raised in Miami, just where, right in the area that I'm representing. Right.
What'd your parents?
My father was the town's physician, and my mother ran a boarding house and hotel.
So you've known many of the people in your district then?
Right, yeah. They've known my family. He built the first hospital in the South, south of Tennessee, for blacks. He worked closely with the University of Miami, hoping to establish a black medical school. So I do have the advantage, and this is where I have a similarity with him. I'm not a Yankee, I'm not a transport, I'm not a foreigner. I've seen the Ku Klux Klan, I've witnessed all that, I've been through all that. So I know all about it. I've been through the sit-ins and all that sort of thing. And
What was your first, what you would consider your first political act?
The introduction of the child care bill. A massive, I thought it was the most beautiful piece of legislation that I had ever written. It was about a 30 or 40 page bill. And I haven't been able to get it passed yet. And we are the only state of the 50 states that has no rules and regulations governing child care. And I can only say that this is because I carry it. It would have been a major step forward.
Has it made any progress since you first introduced it?
Well, it's coming up this year, I hope. But it's coming up mainly changed around into someone else's name or parts of it or portions of it or someone else's bill is amended to it. It may still carry the substance. It may be that they're not quite ready that a black person would introduce progressive, massive legislation that would make complete changes. Maybe that. It may not quite be ready for that yet.
How do you assess Governor Askew as governor, both from the standpoint of from perspective of being a legislator and a citizen of Florida, and also from a black perspective, and also from a woman's perspective?
I think he's a very well-intentioned, a very good man. He's relatively sincere. But I don't rubber stamp him. I don't think he's done enough. I think there's much more he can do for blacks and for women. He hasn't spoken out as strongly as I feel that he should. However, I do realize that he's a new voice coming from the South, and he has a good image. But I guess none of us will ever be satisfied. I'm not completely satisfied or happy with him. I think he could do more, much more, in the leadership role.
Such as?
Well, you see, I think we could have gotten the Equal Rights Amendment passed if the governor had done what he did with the corporate tax. With the corporate tax, he got out, campaigned, went all over the state of Florida in behalf of it, and it passed. I think he could have done maybe not that much effort, but something very similar to that, other than just lip service. He will really have to get out. I think the same thing is true with blacks. Now, he's made a number of black appointments, and he always reminds me of this, and that's good, but it's no more than he should have made. We still have further down that road to go. We're getting blacks in the judiciary, where they've been needed, and we're getting them in other aspects, but we don't have the kind of affirmative action program that we should have for the state. I'm embarrassed, and I've told him that over and over again. I'm embarrassed that the state does not have the kind of affirmative action they should be doing.
Does he meet on any regular or even irregular, formal or informal basis with the blacks in the legislature?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Well, it's hard to be able to do it without your knowledge.
He has blacks.
Wouldn't take
now
a big room, would it?
No. We're way behind. We're way behind in blacks in the state legislature. And I've been all over the state to try to interest blacks in running, because I really believe that this is where the action is, and this is where you're going to have to go to make the changes that you want. We're trying to get together the black elected officials in the state of Florida, but like I said, we're behind.
How many are there?
About 50, all told.
No association?
I have called them together twice. they have elected a leader, and he hasn't called it a war. But it takes a lot of time to organize, and everybody is so strung out and busy until you can't really get down
big
to.
State too.
Yeah, it's
is
long.
Is there any statewide black political organization?
The NAACP, the Voters League, the Urban League. These are the ones, but they may or may not be considered strictly political organizations. You know, we're really not as organized as we should be, and you know, I think one of the reasons perhaps is that we didn't have it as hard as some of the other areas. The hardcore areas, I think, come in and do more than those that have had it kind of halfway all right. Then you become complacent and you don't do very much. If you had a little bit of the pie, you just got complacent. And but I think it's going to catch on in the, hopefully in the future.
Is there any sort of political coalition existing or in the making, or do you see one between blacks and Cubans in Miami?
I'm hopeful of it. They're beginning to talk about it. And we know we have a mayor, Spanish-speaking mayor, in the city of Miami. We have Spanish-speaking commissioners, one. There are Spanish-speaking persons that are going to run for office. And I'm hopeful that they will get one of the seats. See, we don't have any in the legislature. Yet we have that influx where Miami is becoming one-third black, one-third Spanish-speaking, and one-third white.
We heard some speculation that the Cubans in the Miami area tend to be more conservative.
They tend to be Republican.
Tend to be Republican, and that as they develop politically, that Dade County is likely to become
very conservative.
More conservative.
That has been predictions. Hopefully, I hope that isn't so with the mayor that we have now being black, and he's Democratic. The commissioner that we have sitting is
you said the mayor is black?
No, I mean Cuban, Spanish speaking. He's Puerto Rican, and he's Democrat. The other one is Democrat and liberal thinking. We have one on the school board that's a Democrat and fairly liberal thinking. With these Spanish-speaking leaders, hopefully they will sway their people, not that way, but the other way.
Do you have any Spanish-speaking constituents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get their support?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's you see, they've had a choice, a pretty wide range of choice. But they have been supportive. I can't tell you why, other than they're another minority group, not as much of a minority as blacks, but maybe.
Well, why should Spanish-speaking people say Dade County not be Republican?
Because Dade County is not Republican by nature. I mean, we are just, for the first time, we have two Republicans up here now. We never had them before. It's been Democratic for the past 50 years, I would say, predominantly. Like the good old solid South, you know, Democrat, all the way through. It's followed that pattern. Republicans are just beginning to show strength in that area.
But my question really is, looking at it from the perspective of the Spanish-speaking population, why should they not be Republican?
Because their leaders, the leaders that they're electing, are Democrat. They're following the same trend as the other Dade Countyans.
And you said?
They haven't elected a Republican Spanish-speaking to anything that I know of. And they do have leaders in elected positions. That's all I'm judging on.
Okay, you're saying that the most effective, visible
leaders that they have are connected.
Spanish-speaking leaders are connected with the Democratic Party. So you think they're going to fall? Are you?
I think they will. I think this will set a pattern. I think you usually find the people stay, and these are well-respected and very popular leaders. I don't think they were hand-picked or anything. Most were appointed and then ran and kept their jobs, kept their positions. It may go Republican because we have Nixon in that area. I have found that there's a Republican following around in the Key Biscayne area and around there. And there were quite a few Spanish speaking in that area.
What did you mean earlier when you said that blacks in Florida had a bigger piece of the pie than blacks in other southern states?
Well, they had a few blacks, I would say, that weren't as hard-pressed as blacks in Mississippi that were doing...
You mean economically oppressed or politically?
Yeah, economically. No, politically, they were oppressed. But they had a little bit of... you had characteristic blacks that they let flourish. I mean, the number writer... that has the flashy cars and has a little bit of the action up high, and they tend to want to keep the status quo. They're not worried about the political arena maybe particularly, but they're doing all right. They're living all right. Then you have the blacks that work in service for the very wealthy that do very well too. And they tend, anyone who's pretty comfortable, they keep the status quo.
The thing that puzzles me is that Florida is considered one of the least southern of the southern states.
Only Dade County. Only that area, southern Florida. We went for Wallace more so than Alabama. You must remember, we gave him a bigger vote than Alabama. Florida, don't let Florida fool you as far as...
Wasn't any bigger than Michigan, though, was it?
That's right.
I was just curious as to why there are two blacks in the legislature, right?
Three. One male and two female.
But that's about as low as any other southern state, perhaps, and maybe, I don't know, is it the lowest yet? No,
Mississippi. Uh-huh. No, Mississippi.
That's right.
Florida is, don't let Florida mislead you. It is not liberal, and it will fool you. You know, they thought that surely Florida would show up on that, would be a barometer for the whole United States in that presidential primary.
It was.
The whole country was for Wallace.
A lot of the country was for Wallace.
So you didn't run any worse in Michigan than you ran.
Ran better in Michigan.
They say it's a barometer.
He's saying that race is still an overt kind of issue in.
Covert.
Statewide
and
covert and legislative campaign.
Yeah, it's still covert. Mm-hmm.
But it's not articulated.
No.
How is it an issue then?
It's self-evident. You don't have to make it an issue. It's self-evident, and
have those cases where you have a black and white candidate. But if you got two
blacks,
or two blacks, two whites or two blacks, how
would it? It's an issue when you. For those who fight, there are those that are more active when it comes, or more aggressive when it comes to fighting for the rights of minority people, or fighting for the rights of poor people, or fighting for the rights of elderly people.
Okay, if I were a statewide candidate, how would I use that issue without articulating it out in the open? What would I use? What code words would I use? What issues would I use if I wanted to exploit race?
And what community?
Statewide, say for governor or senator. If I wanted to pluck that string, what would I say and what would I do?
The string, you mean the minority string?
The race thing. If I wanted to make race a very subliminal, covert kind of an issue.
Busing. You would go with the busing issue. The quota issue. These words have a meaning.
Welfare, another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get all these lazy, shiftless people, make them work. Yeah, these are the subtle bits. Is that what you mean? Mm-hmm. Those would be the things that the people would
crime.
More.
Hmm? Crime.
Crime in the street, yeah, and put it in the White House. That's right, yeah. We got to take all the crime off the street, yeah. That's right. Yeah, these are the words, the code words, you mean then?
Yeah. But has the rhetoric of the campaigns changed, you know, since you become aware and involved in politics?
Yeah, but they're still playing.
You said you remember the Ku Klux Klan days. So,
yeah, I can
so
remember.
Our book covers the last 25 years, and we're trying to see the major changes that have occurred during that period. Would that be one of them?
Yeah, that it's covert. It's hidden now, and you have to be. You have to be a certain amount of sophistication to know what's happening. That is true. Many of our people are so easily fooled by what people say rather than what they do. And politicians really know how to make hay with that. For instance, it's very difficult for me to tell people what I think of their representatives, or that their representatives are really shafting them, because they won't even believe it. The fellows have it down so well. So I have to learn how to fight just a little bit better than they do, and just a little bit more sophisticated than they can, or, you know, in a different kind of a way, because they're going to, if they see me in front of a black audience or something, they have no qualms about leaning down and kissing me. But that they don't mean it. And I know that, but then you've got to get that across to people. So it's a different kind of politics now. It's more astute. And I guess the Southern gentleman really knows how to whip it on, just like Wallace does. However, I'd rather deal, I think, with the Southerner than I would the Northern, like the Northerner that comes down and goes into the political arena.
Why?
I can deal with my Southern brother, but myself, I can deal with him, I think, even despite all of these facades and etc. I'd rather deal with the Southerner. Maybe it's because I'm more accustomed to it than I would the many Northern transplants that we have in the legislature. That's just a personal feeling. They're more sincere, notwithstanding. I have no qualms with differing with people or being 180 degrees away from what they think. And I think that the Southerner can better take it. They don't hold it up. They're not as suspicious. I could even take Wallace, I guess, better than I can. A whole lot of the Northerners that would come down and ask for my vote. And you're finding more and more of that. I think there are more black people now that are turning over to Wallace. At least you know what Wallace is. You know what you're dealing with. You know? It's that sort of thing. If you understand what I'm saying.
How is Askew perceived by black voters?
He's an ideal to him.
Wallace against Askew in a presidential primary in Florida is not going to get any black votes. Is that what you're saying?
I think Askew would get them all. I think he would. Askew has really won the black voter.
Was it his stand on the busing thing?
I think it was. Because, He really did a. He hasn't done anything else since then, but he did a bold move on that, and a very commendable stand. But he hasn't done anything else since that time. He made that one stand, and he hasn't done anything else.
Doesn't he have some sort of a human relations commission?
No, it doesn't function.
Doesn't function.
Not as such. If they did, they'd have an affirmative action program. They would be doing meaningful things. They aren't doing anything. But he does have one. He has the status of Women's Commission. They don't do anything. But maybe he will whip them up into shape. And he went in on the women's vote, too, because he promised the equality of women. And I don't know if women are going to remember that when he comes back or not. But he hasn't done anything other than lip service for women.
Are there any women's political groups?
Oh, strong, strong.
Like what? Is there a caucus or a...
Yeah.
Women's political
Well, I
caucus?
Used to be head of the National Women's Political Caucus. We just finished our state meeting last weekend in Orlando. They're getting ready. They're gearing up. The NOW organization is strong. Florida, interestingly enough, 55% of the voters are women. We have the highest percentage of women voters in any other state. It's interesting.
In the nation?
Yeah.
Now, Florida came very almost past the ERA, am I correct on that?
Well, the first time I carried it, we passed it in the lower house. And the because of a constitutional prohibition, they didn't take it up in the upper house. We had a relic left over from a constitution, and the constitution saying that no constitutional amendment could be ratified until after the election. So they didn't do that. So we overwhelmingly passed it the first year I carried it. The second year, it was a 10-vote shot. This year, the Senate turned it down. So we've tried all kind of strategy. And,
did the House pass it this year?
We didn't take it up. It was asked. I asked the Senate to take it since they had never voted on it, and we had twice.
Was there an active women's movement in support of Paula Hawkins?
No. No. Paula Hawkins, the only disappointment we've had with Paula, and I'll tell her this, is women were very proud of Paula being elected to the top position, but Paula has not spoken out for the ERA either. She has not identified with women since she's been in. I think she will move closer to us now with the election coming up.
When we came in, you said she was the hottest thing going in Florida politics.
She is the hottest thing. She's the hottest thing in Florida politics right now. She has a beautiful chance. This is the only thing that might throw her. And I don't think women will remember, and I don't think any of us that have observed it very carefully will remind anybody of it. But Paula was mute and could have made a big difference with her Republican delegation when the ERA was up to speak to them or to come before that committee or to make any sort of attempt. And she did not. Nor on any... She has been a... consumer person, which will relate to women. But other than that, she hasn't related as a woman's candidate, or she went as a housewife from Maitland. And that kind of caught on. But she's sitting on a bank, bank board, and she's a very wealthy woman.
What is her husband?
I forgot what he does, but they have some sort of I think they're all in banking business, and they have their own vitamin and health aids and etc. But she's really hot because Vernie is going down, and I think women are ready to get a woman to place a woman in Congress. They have been waiting a long time. They're ready for a woman lieutenant governor if Askew had sense enough to pick one. They're ready for one. Women are tired of being placed down. They're just about ready for a statewide woman candidate.
Do you speak before more black groups or more women's groups?
Combination of both. I like to think I do coalition politics. I have my priorities, and I have, hopefully, in my order, and my black priorities come first and women second. But I have been at the helm of the National Women's Political Caucus when we had a convention in Houston. I am now state president of the NOW organization. I have been on the National NOW board. The women's movement in the South was in the forefront, and I led that movement. And it was a black and white team, but a woman in Dade County, which is most unusual. You don't see that in the South. We made the changes. We took down the signs the same way we took them down with the colored-only signs. We took down the male-only signs out of the stores, out of, and we did it by a quiet, peaceful persuasion. We slowly dropped all the barriers. We went to the department stores, we went to the restaurants, we went to places. And we didn't have to file the suits, but they were removed one by one. So we've been in the forefront in the women's rights movement. But you can't, I don't see how you can very well divide it when you're talking about people's rights. If you're going to fight for one set of rights, you got to fight for the others. You can't, it doesn't make sense.
I know in North Carolina, a lot of liberal democratic women who were active in the women's movement were voting for Republican women at the state level.
They're crossing party lines.
Is that true? Do you see that as a growing trend?
That's right. That's true.
You see yourself as a potential statewide candidate?
I'm hopeful.
This year?
Not this year, no.
Cabinet post or something else?
Possibly cabinet post, possibly Congress, I'm not sure. But I do have hopes. This is really...
Congress would be House seat, though.
Yeah, House.
Be less than statewide there then, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're right. Yeah, I don't... It's like I say, it's winning or losing, but I think it's time to step on up. But I think I have to learn well at this level in order to step up. So I'm doing my apprenticeship, I hope.
When is an urban-oriented consumer advocate going to run for Secretary of Agriculture in this state?
I have a woman that has said that she's putting her hat in the ring. I don't know if she's kidding or not. She says she's got an urban-oriented, that's what she is, Roxy Bolton. She told me she's going to run. That's the one position she wants. I don't know. Would be great.
That just struck me as something just sitting here.
Commission of Education's results are more natural.
No.
State is 87% urban, and you got a Secretary of Agriculture who's in the cabinet post, and he's representing farmers. I mean, it doesn't make much sense.
Well, that's not what I meant. I just said.
Come in. Hey, come on in. Oh. Yeah.
You mean more natural for a woman?
You ought to.
I didn't say a woman.
Have you been? This just happens to be a woman.
I didn't ask a woman. I just said a
position in the cabinet would really be natural. Would be a woman running.
It's politically
natural.
You're a chauvinist.
Like
for instance, you would think that I was if you could probably name my committees. You know, women always do.
So you've got to be on housekeeping, health services. I was the assistant to the Speaker of the House in 1998, so I can tell you where we put him.
You're right. And I've been trying to get the fellows to see. We're tired of doing the housekeeping tasks. We do them all the time. Yeah, I am.
Well,
I'm on judiciary. Judiciary is still one of those two that they sort of let women go on. But I have told the leadership I'm moving up. I want decision making. I want a chairmanship, or I want a minority whip. I don't want this any longer. I want to move up. I'm tired of being stereotyped into this.
What did he say?
He's shaking his head. He's just shaking his head. But I'm going to... I'll have to resort to something if he doesn't move. But it's the same sort of thing. And what's wrong with transportation? Or energy? Or any of these? But we still are getting out. We're still getting pigeonholed in these things.
Do blacks tend to coalesce around any candidates in statewide office?
They haven't. We have one young man that probably has the most charisma and has stated he will run this year, and that's Alcee Hastings. Have you seen him?
No.
He ran when Lawton Charles ran. He's very articulate, he's very handsome, looks like he has a bright future.
From where?
Fort Lauderdale. He's a lawyer. And he's run, but each time it's been unsuccessful. That's unfortunate. That's a Republican area he comes from. Fort Lauderdale is highly Republican.
What's his first name?
Alcee. A-L-C-E. Hastings. H-A-S-T-I-N-G. He's going to run for Paula Hawkins' seat. And I think he has a good chance of getting that.
On the PSC?
Mm-hmm.
You think he can get the Democratic nomination?
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's run so much and they know him. They know he's capable. They know he's articulate. And I think he could. I don't think they could deny it very well. He came in fourth, I think, on that U.S. Senate seat. The Giles Oaks. So he can hold his own. Money probably will stand in his way. He has his own personal money, but I mean getting money from others might stand in his way. But he's the nearest thing we have to Julian Bond on here. And I think that's what people are looking for. You know, that kind of person to rally around. He's about the closest thing we have.
Has he run for the legislature before?
I'm trying to think. He's run for the U.S. Senate. I think he has. He's run about four times. City Commission, Senate, and legislature. And he lost every time. And that's bad. Once you get in that rut and people think you can't make it. But he may have been a little ahead of his time on each one of them.
Who are Askew's advisors on black appointments?
Mrs. Range in Miami, who was his Secretary of Community Affairs. He has Black now, who's Assistant Secretary of Labor, Seabeth Wimbush. He has Rabinell, who's one of his assistants or aides. He has Claude Anderson, who's over education. Those that he has on staff, I don't think too much of. I think this is probably his downfall, too, as far as I'm concerned, because these are all fellows that are not from here. And who are not too familiar with the state itself and the blacks in the state. And the blacks in the state are going to kind of resent, you know, this sort of thing. That's the one place where he makes a mistake, I think.
For example, picking Claude Anderson is more or less his top black aide when he's someone who's not from Florida.
He's from Michigan. You go take him back to Michigan. Are you from
Michigan?
I'm just kidding. I mean, you bring a man in from Michigan to tell you what to do with education in Florida when you've got all of these people here that are highly trained, that have been working in the educational system, that came up through it, were trained in it. And then you pick somebody like this, it's sort of a slap in the face. Rabinell is the same way. Rabinell came from somewhere, I don't know where. And
good South Carolina man.
Yeah. Oh, is that where he's from?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a good man, but I'm just saying people will resent that. It's as though you didn't have anything available. The local talent didn't come up to par. That sort of feeling. And I don't think Askew realizes that. But that's as I see it. I think he's a good national candidate. I think we're going to lose him to the national scene as vice president.
How would you feel if he became president?
I think he would do his best. I don't think he would do very much. But he would do his best. He's well steeped in legislative knowledge and all that, so we're fortunate in that. He's been in a long time. He knows the legislative process. He knows all about it. But he's getting more and more conservative every day.
He's conservative or cautious?
Cautious, I guess. Well, whatever. Cautious is a good word. Much better choice of words, yeah. Cautious. And it may be that he's being singled out so much for the national scene. That may be it. But he's a Good man. He's good. Didn't smoke. He didn't drink. Didn't serve it in the mansion either. He didn't serve
Lester
it.
Maddox didn't smoke or drink either.
He didn't? Does he require others not do it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, he's running for, what is he running for? Maddox is running for?
Running for governor.
That's right. But how many candidates are going to, 7, 8?
Nine.
You know, and they're about to have a woman governor in Connecticut. I just did a seminar at Mount Holyoke. They're about to have a woman governor in Connecticut, I think. Progress. We're going to have some women in those big positions soon. And some blacks.
Do you see more black women, right? Because in Georgia, only two women
legislators. You got Grace and Betty. Yes, right. Grace and Betty, only two. You got both of them black. Black women have been able... One thing, we can get more easily accepted, I believe, for that first initial time than black men. The door will open a little bit quicker for us. And we have been playing a role of compromise ever since I can remember between blacks and whites in family situations and home situations and service situations and everything. So we know how to sort of, we are well equipped for that.
Who's the congressman from your district?
Lima. The new one. It used to be Pepper until we split it up here. Pepper and Lehman are very close, but Lehman is really my congressman. I'm looking at him.
I bet he's looking at
you. He just read one of my resolutions into law, into the congressional records for me last week on the Haitian situation. We've got a terrible Haitian situation here. Well, the United States government will not grant them political asylum. And I passed a resolution in the House here, and I asked that he read it in the congressional record so we can get some uniform standards.